You're listening to an ESA podcast brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. ESA, promoting the science of ecology.
I'm Terrence Houston, and this is The Ecologist Goes to Washington, a podcast program by the Ecological Society of America, where we interview scientists involved with public policy. Today, I'm interviewing Cleo Chow with Princeton University. Cleo is one of this year's Graduate Student Policy Award winners. Your dissertation concerns carbon and nutrient cycling in tropical rainforests. Could you talk about how your research into this issue benefits human society?
Sure. So tropical forests are helping us fight climate change because they grow fast and their trees absorb a lot of CO2, storing it in their wood, and that takes it out of the atmosphere for long periods of time. And there's a potential for tropical forests to grow even more and store even more carbon in the future under elevated CO2 conditions that we will be facing. But it's unclear if this tree growth will be limited by a different resource other than CO2, such as nutrients in the soil, like nitrogen and phosphorus. So for my PhD research, I'm looking at the relationship between tropical tree growth and the cycling of these nutrients in tropical forests to understand how nutrients might be constraining growth. And my research can help inform climate scientists on the relevant details they should be including in large Earth system simulation models, which help us predict future climate so that we as a society are better prepared for different future environmental scenarios. My research also has implications for tropical forest restoration efforts or forest management, which helps ensure that we continue to receive ecosystem services from tropical forests like carbon sequestration, biodiversity, food, fuel, and lots of other services.
You stated your ecological interest began with an internship that involved research into Hudson River wetlands. Could you elaborate on how this experience shaped your interest in ecology, as well as the importance of communicating ecological science beyond the research community?
Right. So the summer after my freshman year of college, I participated in an internship that really introduced me to scientific research, and I was studying the geochemistry of the Hudson River marshes, like you pointed out. And that was a great introduction into how science works, from asking questions to collecting the data to lab work and writing and presenting the results. And then for my senior thesis, I knew I wanted to transition to more ecological research. So I looked at paleoecology, which is historical ecology of these Hudson River marshes. And basically, I looked at fossil seeds from a sediment core. And with those seeds, I was able to reconstruct plant communities in these marshes from the past 6,000 years. And then the really cool part was I presented my research at a symposium organized by the Hudson River Foundation, which had funded some of the research. And afterwards, I met a manager of a local wetland reserve who is dealing with the invasive Phragmites reed, which afflicts a lot of marshes in North America. And we had a good discussion on marsh restoration and what species I had found in historic time periods and how that could help her choose species she wanted to restore her wetlands with. And that was really cool because I could see that my research could have an impact on ecosystem management, which has an impact on people who either use the wetlands for recreation or are indirectly impacted by their ecosystem services.
Could you talk about how funding from the National Science Foundation and other federal agencies has been important towards helping you complete your 5-year PhD program and your research?
Sure. So first of all, I was really fortunate to receive an NSF Graduate Research Fellowship, which has funded the past 3 years of my stipend as a PhD student, and it also has covered part of my tuition. So altogether, this is an enormous amount of financial support from NSF in my graduate career, which I'm really grateful for. Also, I conducted my PhD field research at La Selva Biological Station in Costa Rica, and this is a research station located in the middle of a very wet rainforest that receives over 4 meters of rain a year. So funding from many NSF grants throughout the years has supported the building of really well-equipped labs at this field station, and that allows me and other scientists to conduct cutting-edge research under the really tough conditions of a rainforest, where you constantly have to deal with all the rain, all the humidity and mold, and animals ranging from army ants to venomous snakes wandering into buildings.
Moving on to your meetings on Capitol Hill, did you find you were effectively able to convey the importance of federally funded research to the congressional staff with whom you met?
Yes. So my team and I visited the congressional offices of New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut. And these offices happen to be sympathetic to research funding. And this might have been due to the abundance of research institutions in these states. The staff we interacted with already agreed with us that federally funded research is important. But still, they were really happy to meet with early career scientists and to hear stories about how federal money has helped our research careers.
Were there particular aspects of what you said that seemed to resonate well with the policymakers that you met with?
I think in general, any specific research or personal stories, which I kind of described my research already, but I also shared a really great story from a lab mate at Princeton who was funded by an NSF grant to study drought in southwestern forests in the U.S. And as a part of that research grant, he designed a new environmental sensor that was cheap and could transmit data through Wi-Fi. And then he realized that not only was this device great for science, but it also had huge applications in the agricultural sector. So he founded a startup company that has been pretty successful so far, and he has farmers from across the U.S. who are interested in it. And I think this story was a great example of the importance of funding basic research and the spillovers that you can't really predict that will happen in innovation in the private sector. And I think this was extra exciting for policymakers when it happens in their home state.
How did your overall experience change your perspective of Congress and your concept of policy engagement in general?
So the congressional visit was a really positive experience for my perspective of Congress. It was really great to see that the staffers were engaged in our meetings and genuinely interested in our research and outreach efforts. It was also reassuring to hear several of the staff members from different offices tell us that their congressperson always wants to hear the perspective of their constituents on an issue and that they actually take tally of who's pro or con an issue before making decisions. That really made me feel like my voice could be heard.
So in closing, what advice would you give to other young scientists seeking to engage in public policy?
So I think a trip to Congress is actually a great way to start, as it was for me, because it's a crash course in civics and helps you stand in the shoes of policymakers and see things from their perspective. And I think it's great that ESA and other scientific societies provide opportunities to visit Congress throughout the year to discuss scientific and environmentally related issues. And that's something that would be great to take advantage of. And then really helpful advice during the ESA training session for my visit was to always remember to have a civil conversation when you are engaging with policymakers. And that sounds simple, but I think it goes a long way. And then finally, I would say, don't be afraid to step outside of the box of academia to try something new. There are a lot of roles for scientists in policy, and if science isn't at the table, it won't be heard.
And that was Cleo Chow with Princeton University. Thanks so much for listening, and please join us next time on The Ecologist Goes to Washington.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. Music was provided by Dr. Nicholas Catelli. For a link to Dr. Catelli's homepage, more information about ESA, or additional podcasts, please visit www.esa.org. Thanks for listening.